You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we have a great program for you today, folks. Rita Shula, Senior Director for Caregiving at AARP's Public Policy Institute, is with us to talk about a new report on caregiving that AARP has just issued. Some really interesting information and other resources available in this discussion with her. So looking forward to beginning the conversation with her. But before we get to her, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we always like to start our show on a more informal note. And no, Mike Davis is not in the house today. In fact, I'm recording today's episode remotely due to just some scheduling conflicts. And, you know, Mike D, he's just about a man about town. You know, he's that guy with that busy life. In quote-unquote retirement, as he says he's busier than ever now that he has retired. But Mike is here in spirit for sure. Anyway, folks, I thought I'd begin our show, before we get to our conversation with Rita about this new caregiving report, to talk about another important thing that's going on here during the month of November. Now, as you probably know, month of November is National Caregivers Month, which is one of the reasons why we're focusing on this report today. But also, it is a month when we get to highlight and celebrate those who have served our country. Veterans Day, of course, and a very important day for AARP. And you probably didn't know this little fun fact about AARP, but did you know that AARP, as an organization, has more members that are veterans than any other single organization in the country? Yes, that is true. We boast some very large numbers and even more numbers of not just veterans, but what we call VMF veterans and military families. That's a special division we have at AARP. It's something that we've developed over the years, and it has become a very large part of the outreach and education work that we at AARP North Carolina does right here in our state, but of course nationally as well. And so what I thought I would do before we get to our conversation with Rita on the caregiving report and National Caregivers Month is to talk a little bit about Veterans Day and resources that AARP has for veterans and military families. I hate to just refer to y'all to a website, but honestly, this is the single best thing I can do. If there's one single takeaway from this little intro that I'd like you to have, it's to write down aarp.org/veterans. If you go to that website, you're going to find a whole lot of information, and it'll give you a sense as to just what we've been up to at AARP in terms of developing helpful resources for veterans and military families. For one of the first things that you're going to see when you go to that webpage is a 45% military discount on AARP membership. Now, AARP membership deals and things like that aren't something that I typically do. In fact, I don't think I've ever done that before on this program. It's not, you know, at AARP, we're a large organization and there are people who work on that specifically. My job as director of AARP North Carolina is to be the best AARP that the state of North Carolina can have by providing resources and supports and leverage to community efforts to help make the state the best place in the country to live. But we don't really tout membership or try to push that much. But if you are a member of a military, if you go to aarp.org/veterans, that's the first thing you'll see, 45% military discount. The other stuff that I want to share with you, and I'll be pretty quick with this, but we could easily spend a series of shows, not just one show, but a series of shows on these different resources that we have available for veterans and military families. I'm just going to kind of walk through them really quickly. And those of you who know people who are currently serving or are veterans or are part of military families, you may want to take note of some of this because Some of this, no doubt, will be helpful to you. Want to highlight a series of guides that AARP has on that website. First one is something we call the Veterans and Military Families Health Benefits Guide. And this is simply a resource that veterans can use to better understand the various health benefits that are out there that you may qualify for, contact information and all those other types of things. Another thing is called the VMF, Veterans and Military Families Home Modification Guide. Now, you probably didn't know, so I'm not going to ask you, did you know? But there's $150 million in federal dollars that are available to veterans' families for home modification projects. Did you know that? It's $150 million that's just sitting there waiting for you to claim some of it to help fund a needed home modification project to allow a veteran to be able to get around their home with greater ease. So that's the VMF Home Modification Guide, where you can find some of that information. Another thing, VA Burial Benefits Guide. So if you've got questions about burials and how to, you know, just start thinking about this, or if you're in that position where you need to actually go forth with a burial, you will no doubt find some help in this resource. Another one, the VMF Fraud Watchdog Guide. Okay, a real sad fact, unfortunately, is the fact that there are fraudsters who prey upon veterans. They prey upon them for a variety of reasons, and unfortunately, with, you know, when it comes to VA benefits and all other sorts of things, they create new opportunities for fraudsters to be able to step in and to take away some of your entitled benefits as a veteran. And so the VMF Fraud Watchdog Guide is something that can be helpful to you to help protect yourself and your military family. There's also the Veterans and Military Families Caregivers Guide. And this is helpful to people who are helping provide care for a veteran in the family. Lots of good information there. The Care for Caregiver Guide. This is another resource. Now, I'll say that again, care for the caregiver, because caregiving itself is a very, very stressful and strenuous undertaking that people have to take on. Most people aren't planning for it. You know, it just happens. Life just happens. And boom, next thing you know, you are a caregiver. And so that can be very, very difficult and very stressful, very financially stressful as well. And so knowing how to take care of yourself if you are a caregiver is a really important piece. Two more things I want to share with you. The VMF Job Search Toolkit. And yes, it's exactly what it sounds like. If you are a veteran or a member of a military family and need some assistance with leveraging your skill sets and so forth to find a job in the current job market, that toolkit can be of help for you. And lastly, the VMF AARP Benefits Guide. And this just simply helps you as a member, as a veteran or a member of a military family, better understand how to leverage your AARP benefits as a member to just help you further along. And again, that begins with that 45% military discount that I mentioned at the beginning of this little segment. So check that out, aarp.org/veterans. For all that great information, thank you to those of you who have served and continue to serve our country. We are forever in debt to you. And every month should be Veterans Month. It certainly is for AARP. This is something that we do year-round. So, shifting gears, November is also National Caregivers Month. And we have a new report out. AARP periodically does reports on the issue of caregiving, because it is such an important part of our healthcare system. There are, right here in North Carolina, more than 2 million unpaid informal family caregivers who are taking care of a loved one. And many of them are doing it feeling very much out on their own. Again, many of them didn't plan for it. Life just happened, and they are in this position of having to take care of a loved one. Some of them are doing it full-time, almost like a full-time job, on top of their work and their other obligations that they have to fulfill. And so it can be very, very stressful. And so the new report that AARP has just come out is called Caregiving in the U.S. 2025. It's a national survey, and there is some state-by-state data in that. And so I'm very happy to have on the program today Rita Shula. Rita is the Senior Director of Caregiving at the AARP Public Policy Institute. In her role, she drives the development of family caregiving initiatives by providing content expertise both within AARP and in partnership with a wide range of external collaborators. Her work bridges policy and research to practice, centered on identifying and supporting needs of family caregivers. Rita, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Before we get into the report, I want to first ask you about the Public Policy Institute. Over the last few years, we've had a number of AARP colleagues on the show from different parts of the organization. But you have the distinction of being the first representative of Public Policy Institute, so thank you for that. Most of our listeners are unaware of all the pieces of AARP as an association. So can you please start right there with a little bit on the Public Policy Institute? What is it and what does it do as part of the AARP family?
Absolutely, and I'm honored to be the first. I have to say this is a great year for that to happen because the Public Policy Institute is celebrating our 30th year within AARP. And basically, we're known as the think tank of the organization. We work across really all of the departments within the organization, including our state offices. And we focus on providing policy research and insights, thought leadership, in areas covering economic security, family caregiving, long-term services and supports, health. You'll know us for our work with prescription drugs, the RX work, as well as our livable communities and housing work. And as we work across the organization to really help inform much of the work that goes on from a policy perspective in the states. And we try to get ahead of things as well with our thought leadership as we look out and try to be forward thinking to inform the work of the organization, both at an advocacy level, but across our programs as well.
Great. Thank you so much for starting on that note. You know, there's AARP means so many different things to different people, even among our membership, of course. And so that's really helpful for folks to understand just how dynamic of an organization we are. So caregiving, let's get into this a little bit. We hear a lot from caregivers here in North Carolina, and I'm so glad that during National Caregivers Month, November, we've released this new report, Caregiving in the U.S. If you could, before we get into the details of the survey, can you please tell us a bit about the purpose of the survey and why is it important to have this kind of information available?
Sure. This survey is really critical. We've been doing this for almost 30 years now in partnership with the National Alliance for Caregiving. And really, it offers a comprehensive view of family caregivers. I think oftentimes we look at the role of family caregivers in silos. And what this report does, and because we've been doing it over 30 years, it allows us to really see how things have trended, how things have changed from year to year, really looking at the full picture of what a family caregiver does, and in particular with this year's report, who that caregiver is themselves.
And I have to say, just as a note from us, of course, you're at the Public Policy Institute, I'm with AARP North Carolina and our state offices, is research like this that we get from PPI that's so helpful. It makes our job, I don't want to say easy, because easier. It's always good when you have good information, and having something coming out right now during National Caregivers Month is certainly helping us help educate policymakers. When we continue after this short break, we're going to continue our conversation with Rita Shula. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send me an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Rita Shula. She is the Director of Caregiving at the AARP Public Policy Institute. And we've been talking about the PPI and about this latest report, Caregiving in the U.S., and why it's important to have this kind of information available. Rita, let's dig into this report specifically here now and see what it says about caregivers here in North Carolina. What does a family, a typical family caregiver look like? Are they working? How much care are they giving? What can you tell us?
Sure. North Carolina, I would say over a quarter of the adults in North Carolina are family caregivers. So that's over 2 million individuals are providing some sort of care. And it really ranges. I will say that in North Carolina, so often we think about family caregivers as being predominantly women. And while that is the case in North Carolina, we see a higher level, actually higher than the national average, of men that are taking on that role of providing care. We know that 58% of caregivers are working while they are providing that care, and that 38% are caring for a parent. One of the important things that we found in this report, even from a national perspective, is that looking closer at sandwich generation caregivers, so individuals who are sandwiched between caring for an older adult and caring for a younger child, and within North Carolina, 27% are doing that. One of the things that we really wanted to do with this report was to take a closer look at the well-being of family caregivers. Oftentimes, we're very focused on what that individual is doing for others, but we oftentimes don't look at what impacts that is having on the individual themselves. And in North Carolina, as in states across the country, there are a number of things that are really impacting an individual's well-being. For instance, in North Carolina, 40% are reporting moderate to high levels of being stressed, of their having emotional stress. And also almost over a third, should I say, receive no help with caregiving. A lot of times we think that there's a lot of people around the caregiver providing that person assistance day to day. But actually, more often than not, many of them are not receiving that additional help.
You know, one of the things on that note about the type of care they're giving is just how much care they're giving. It was striking to me to see, I think the stat is 27% are giving caregiving full time. So that's on top of work or whatever else they may be going. They're actually doing unpaid caregiving on a full time basis, which is it's certainly a big part of that root cause of that personal strain you mentioned. Caregivers often could be a part of the communications chain between the one receiving the care and the healthcare provider. How is that showing up in this report?
You know, that's showing that so many caregivers are very much focused on that care coordination. And what does that look like? That is anywhere from trying to manage multiple appointments. Say you're bouncing someone between a cardiologist and their internal doctor. They could be seeing a rheumatologist. There's so many different coordinating factors that go into family caregiving. And family caregivers really struggle with that because the systems that they're working within are very fragmented. I think another really important piece and that we see family caregivers doing are managing conversations and advocating for the person they're caring for with insurance companies, whether that's private insurance or government-funded insurance, and really trying to make sure that that individual is getting the supports that they need in order to be able to function. And again, that is adding to the stress and strain that family caregivers are doing because quite often they're juggling between that actual day-to-day care of the person that they're caring for and probably having to work as well.
One of the things that we routinely talk about on this show is how, in life, so much of the time we don't figure out problems until we have to, right? And unless it's right
Absolutely.
there on your, in your home. And when you're having to advocate on behalf of someone and doing that for the first time, and you're running into barriers that maybe you wouldn't have for yourself because it's on behalf of someone else, you've got privacy and all other sorts of barriers that are there. It can be even more daunting and even more frustrating for sure. One of the other challenges, Rita, I'd like to ask you about is the financial strain. What does the report say about those kinds of challenges?
Family caregivers are so very challenged in that area. If we look at North Carolina alone, we see that 54% of family caregivers are experiencing at least one negative financial impact. And you say, what is a financial impact? That may mean that the individual is taking on more debt, they may have stopped saving, or they may be able to just basically be unable to afford basic expenses. And that is something that we learned in our report for the first time this year. Really, the number of family caregivers that are struggling to pay rent and buy food for themselves because of the care that they are providing.
One of the things that stood out to me in the report that you don't see that much in caregiving reports, at least I haven't before, is the financial cost of the home modifications. And I saw in here said 39% say that they've had to pay out of pocket to do some changes in the home in order to help with their caregiving services. And that's something, again, you don't figure out a problem in life until you have to. It's like, oh, wow. I guess I have to do this to my home and or to their home now in order to be able to for us just to be able to get this done, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes with the notion too that family caregivers don't see themselves as family caregivers. They're taking care of their parents, they're taking care of siblings or their spouse. And so things that go with that care, it doesn't really hit you until you look at your bank statement at the end of the month and say, wow, I'm behind, or I have to make a change because you're doing what you need to do in order to provide that person with supports.
What else can you tell us, Rita, about the survey? Anything else specifically that you'd like to share?
I think something that's really important is the intensity of care that individuals are providing. While we recognize caregivers are doing things like meal prep and managing finances, maybe even helping somebody with toileting and incontinence, we also see that they are, and in North Carolina, it's 56% of individuals are helping with complex things like medical and nursing tasks. So they're managing catheters, they're managing very heavy medication regimen. So, taking care of somebody with over five medications at a time. They are doing a number of things that, quite honestly, they didn't go to school to do. And in our national report, 22%, it's only 22% of family caregivers say they were even trained on it. And so that is very alarming to me because caregivers are being asked to do more of these complex care things in the home while they're working, while they're struggling to make their finances meet, and while they are taking care of younger children. And so it really shows a nation of caregivers that are in crises. One of the things that we did find in the report, are that 51% of family caregivers report that they receive purpose or they find purpose in this, in the act of family caregiving. And what I say is that is a wonderful thing, and caregivers should be able to find purpose, but not at the lack of support in order to care for themselves and better care for the person in their lives.
Thank you for touching on all of that. The point you made in particular about how folks didn't go to school for this is something that really resonates. You know, life happens, as we say a lot, and you're suddenly, in that on that learning curve trying to figure things out, and things can get very feel very desperate and very tense. And I know one of the things that we, meaning AARP in our work, try to let people know is that you're not alone. And so if you're listening to this program and you're feeling the strain, maybe you found a link online here because you were looking for help, you were looking for some sort of support, understand that AARP gets it. And a report like this, and in a second I'm going to ask you, Rita, where folks can go to check out the report. I love the report, the format of it, because it's very simple, it's very visual. In terms of charts and graphs and things like that, but it is also very detailed and granular in some of the information that is shared that I think can again help make that point to people that you're not alone. If you're feeling the strain, the anxiety from this, it's completely normal. And there are people organizations like AARP who are trying to steer you in the right direction. Where can folks read the report, Rita?
Sure, they can find the report at www.aarp.org/caregiving-in-the-US-2025.
Excellent. And for those who are interested in learning more about the Public Policy Institute, are you guys on social media, a website?
Sure, absolutely. So on X, you can find us at AARP Policy. We also have a Facebook page. You can just type in AARP Public Policy Institute, and it will take you to that. And we are also on LinkedIn as part of our larger group. So you can look on LinkedIn at AARP Public Policy Institute Thought Leadership.
Beautiful. And any final words to share with us today, Rita?
I just want to build on the you are not alone. It's so often that we feel as family caregivers, I'm a former caregiver myself, that you really are in this by yourself. But as the numbers show in our report, you are one of 63 million individuals that day in and day out are caring for their family members, friends, and neighbors. And working within a fragmented system that we are working hard at AARP to create a better sound system to support you as you provide that care.
Great. And what a perfect note to end on. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Rita, to you and your family. And
Thank
thanks
you.
again so much for being on the program. That is a wrap, folks. I want to say thank you to Rita Shula for being our guest. Thank you to Mike Davis for post-production. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. This is AARP Without Limits, and we will see you next time.